you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew 22:37 through 40, he said to them, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." Reading from Matthew 22:37 through 40.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 2nd, 2025, and today's topic will be the greatest command. We just heard read from Sharon Fernald, Matthew 22:37 through 40, a familiar passage with many of you because these are words of Jesus that talk about the greatest command. And actually, there's two kind of aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thanks, Sharon, for reading that. And as we look at Matthew 22, kind of pull back and we look at the whole chapter, what's happening in Matthew 22 is the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, they don't like what Jesus is doing. Jesus is having an effect upon people. People are following Jesus. They're trusting in Jesus. They're listening to his teachings. He's affecting their lives, and they don't like it. And so they come to trap him. In the first movement in chapter 22, they come with a coin. And everybody knows this story, right? Mm-hmm. And what do they say when they show the coin?
They ask whose image was on the coin.
And whose image was on the coin?
Caesar.
Yeah, the coin belonged to Caesar. Now, this is really interesting because these are Jewish people and they're coming. Their king is supposed to be who?
Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah, their king is supposed to be Jesus, supposed to be God. And so the Pharisees are coming and they're saying, whose inscription, who's preeminent, whose inscription is on this coin? And they say, well, it's Caesar's. And their question is, well, then what do we do with that? Now, what's interesting about this is that the Romans would say Caesar is Lord. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, who's more important here? They're trying to trip him up. They're trying to trap him. And Jesus, he levels the playing field. He says, well, you know what you got to do? Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. He's telling them, you need to take an inventory of your own life and see who's more important. See who deserves the first and the best of your life. Is it God or is it Caesar? Who is really truly Lord of your life, Caesar or God? Because when he says that, when he says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give to God what belongs to God, well, God deserves what?
Our best.
Our best, everything. God deserves everything because everything that we have comes from God. In fact, we know from Romans chapter 12 that Caesar's only in power because of who?
God.
Because of God.
God, yes.
Yeah, he's the one who puts the rulers in place. And so then they begin to talk to him about the resurrection because the resurrection was a hot topic of the day. And so he talks to them about that, and Jesus corrects their view on the resurrection. So twice they've tried to challenge him, and twice they've tried to trap him, and it hasn't worked. And so then they come, and they say, listen, of all the commands, what's the greatest one? Hmm. Now, does anybody know how many commands there were in Jesus' day?
500 or 600.
Yeah, 613. And those were not commands necessarily from the Bible, but they were commands about the Bible. So the Jewish folks, because they wanted to love God with all their heart, soul, and all their might, they wanted to follow God. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. They put up all these commands, both positive and negative, to make sure that they kept themselves following God. The problem is that you can become so focused on the commands and the rules that you forget the one in whom you're trying to follow, the one in whom you're trying to worship. And so for the Jewish people, the commands became more important than God.
You know, Jason, I know you appreciate Dove and Moshe when we're in Israel, and he always talks a little bit about this because many times Christians will look at some of the Jewish practices. Well, you follow all those rules, but then he always turns it around and says, but we love God and we mm-hmm. want to obey him. He gives us a good teaching on the importance of following mm-hmm. rules, of being obedient.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and we don't want to say that rules are bad, but listen, if we only follow rules for the sake of rules, then all we're doing is worshiping the rules. Yes. We're not worshiping God. This is what is wrapped up in this thing. They come and they go, listen, we know we can get him. because there's 613. How will he possibly be able to pick? And when he picks one, he's saying the other 612 are worthless or they're not as important. And so what they're thinking, what's implied there, is that in those 612 that he doesn't say are as important or less important, that following God in those ways is less important. And so it really is a great argument. It really is a great trap that they're setting for him. And so they want to trap him. They want to embarrass him. And so they ask this question. In fact, it even says in the text, they ask this question to test him. Mm-hmm. And so they don't come with the right heart, do they?
No.
They come with a heart that wants to trap and to test, not with a heart that wants to know more, that wants to genuinely follow God in a deeper and more profound way. And so Jesus answers, and he says this, "You shall." Now, when he says you shall, that means what? You
should.
Exactly, Alaric. You should. He's not giving him any wiggle room. I love this because there's some irreducible minimums in the Bible, and when Jesus talks about them, he makes it sound like they need to be normal in your life. When Jesus talks about prayer, what does he say? And when you pray. He doesn't say if you pray. He says when you pray.
So would it almost be instead of you should, you must? Would it be that imperative?
Sure. Well, and when he talks about the scripture, what does Jesus say? Have you not read? Which is implied that if you love God, you ought to be reading the scriptures. You ought to be praying. These are non-negotiable things in the life of a follower of Jesus and a follower of God. And so he says, you should love the Lord your God. Now, isn't it interesting he says the Lord your God? He doesn't just say God. We oftentimes say God, right? Love God.
Yes.
He says, love the Lord your God. Why do you think he says the Lord your God?
Makes God the head of everything. He's the Lord over everything.
Exactly. It's a statement of preeminence. It's a statement to say that he's the most important thing. I know a lot of people who say, I love God. But when you look at their life, there's a lot of other lords in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus says here, built into this, he says, you should love the Lord your God. That love comes out of understanding who God is.
Mm-hmm.
The fullness of who God is. Now, what do you think it means to love God?
To obey him.
Okay, to obey him.
Surrender and submit.
Surrender and submit, okay.
And look at him as the most important thing in your whole life.
Okay. And then practically, how does that work in our life? How do we do that?
Through prayer.
Okay, through prayer and?
And reading his word.
Reading his word, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let me challenge us here. The most important thing, if you love somebody, the most important thing to do when you love them is to what?
Get to know them.
Get to know them, yeah. And you do that by spending time with them. And so we need to spend time with God. Okay? And sometimes I think the most important people in our lives, the hardest thing to do is to spend time with them. We've got so many other things going on. But the most valuable thing we have is time, because I have a little less of it today than I had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow I'll have even less of it.
Mm-hmm.
At some point we go, I don't think I have much time left. I have friends who are senior saints, and they say, I don't know, this could be the last cheeseburger I eat. This could be the last, I might not see the sequel to that movie. That's okay. But we never know how much time we have left. So the most valuable thing we have is time. And the most valuable expression of our love is spending time with that person. And Elmer, you mentioned prayer. And so what do we think prayer is?
Talking with God.
Excellent. Gail, you never let me down. It's talking with God. So I'm building an argument here. If the most important thing we can do to show our love is to spend time with somebody, then within that, the most important thing we do is talk to them. Imagine if you went out with somebody and you spent a day with them and you never talked to them, or they never talked to you. I actually was with some students recently, and I posed that question to them, and one of the students says, well, that would stink. That would be awkward. I wouldn't want to really hang out with that person if they didn't talk to me at all. And so there's a lot of people who say, well, I love God, but they don't want to spend any time with him, and they don't want to talk with him.
Jason, it makes me think of the picture in a restaurant when you see a couple maybe dating or just engaged and they're sitting shoulder to shoulder, loving on each other. They're half an inch apart. And then you see maybe an older couple that they're either reading the paper or they're not talking to each other. And you're thinking, boy, maybe the spark in their marriage, or they're just bored that day or whatever, but they're not communicating.
And there's different ways that we spend time with each other, but I think that it's important that we talk to one another, we communicate with one another. And so spending time with God involves prayer, and prayer is not, sometimes we want to make prayer be something different than what it really is. Prayer is talking with God. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. He's saying, don't stop talking to God. Why would you stop talking to him? And built into that is then, don't stop listening to what he's saying to you. And then, I think, reading God's Word. Because if you want to spend time with somebody and you want to talk with them, wouldn't you want to know everything you can about them? Mm-hmm. And everything that you want to know about God is found in His Word.
Amen.
He tells you everything about Him. He tells you who He is, what He's done, what He plans to do, why He did what He did. The Bible is such a rich letter to us from God about who He is. And so if you want to love God, you have to want to spend time with Him. You have to want to talk with Him. You have to want to grow to know and love Him more by reading His Word. It was interesting because when I was talking to this group of students, they said to me, they said, sometimes it's so hard to read my Bible. And I said, it's hard to read your Bible because you want to say, you're talking about it in terms of reading your Bible. What if you said, I get to spend time with Jesus. I get to hear His voice through the Scriptures talk to me. I get to know and love Him more. What if it isn't, I have to read my Bible, but I get to know God more? Mm-hmm. It changes the conversation, right? It's not, I have to pray. It's, I get to talk with God. The God who has done all the things that I can see around me that He's done. He's the sun, moon, and stars, and the eclipse in the sky, and all the kinds of things that God's done. And He wants to pause and stop and listen to me. He wants to talk with me. That the Bible tells me He inclines His ear to hear the things that I'm talking to Him about. That's pretty phenomenal. That changes the way. See, sometimes I think that we want to just talk about loving God in a very theological way and take away all the experiences of relationship. And when Jesus comes and talks about God, He talks about loving God in a relationship. He even says, I only do what my Father tells me to do, which means He's listening to Him and having a conversation with Him, doesn't it? He says, I'm about my Father's work. He says, have you not read? He's placing the importance on knowing who God is through the Word. And so when Jesus says you should love God, the Lord your God, He's preeminent, He's the Lord of your life. He says with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Why do you think He says those three things?
That includes pretty much all of yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, because you can have the mindset and think about it, but not have the heart, the affections, or be all in on it.
Exactly. Yeah, this is the whole of us, right? Our mind, our thinking, our kind of academic, how do you want to say it? Just our minds, the ways we think, the way we rationalize things, the way we kind of work things out. Then our heart, that thing that does crazy stuff, right? Our heart that makes us sell all our stuff and give to the, you know, makes us run after people, makes us, you know, gosh, when I was dating my wife, I did crazy things that I would never do nowadays. I bought her like roses. I don't even know what the budget for that year in roses was. But it was an insane number that now when I look back, I'm like, that guy was dumb. But my heart, I was like, and my wife was like, she just like, you kept buying me these roses and they just kept dying. What? It was like you were just crazy. I was. Because that's what our heart does.
It does.
But then he says your soul, because that's the spiritual part. So he's saying, as Elmer, as you aptly said, he's saying all of who you are, all of it needs to be focused on God. Mm-hmm. Needs to be focused on loving God. And that's why the Bible says to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Why? Because you need to rein your mind in. It says to make the affections of your heart be Jesus. Why? Because we need to rein our heart in. And we need to, in our spiritual life, we need to be focused on Jesus. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, isn't that what Paul says? He says, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, for you have died and your life is hidden in Christ. The Apostle Paul says himself he needed to set his heart and his mind and his soul and his spirit upon Jesus. And he needed to continually do that. Why? Because Paul wanted to love God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his mind. The Hebrews have a word they call it chutzpah. Everybody say chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
Chutzpah. That means our muchness, all that we are, that we're supposed to love God with every single bit of who we are. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. He says that this is the one that means the most. By the way, what's fascinating is he is quoting Deuteronomy 6, which in it, does anybody know what the prayer is of Deuteronomy 6 that comes from Deuteronomy 6? It's the most important prayer in Judaism. It's the most important prayer for the Jews. Does anybody know what it's called?
Shema.
The Shema, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a prayer that they would say three times a day. And it comes from Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. Does this sound like what Jesus is saying?
Yeah.
You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk about them when you sit down in your house, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. What Moses is saying in Deuteronomy is that the love of God should so come out of you that it's all that you talk about. It comes out of every pore of you. You're talking with your children about it as you lay down, as you get up, as you walk along the way. The love of God is such a part of your life. Why? Because he's one, number one. And so when Jesus says, oh, you want to know what the greatest command is? How about that one that you say three times a day? How about that one that seems so important to you because you don't say any of the other ones three times a day, but you say this one three times a day?
Isn't that also written in what the Jewish people oftentimes, especially Orthodox, at the doorway? Isn't it on a little scroll?
Yeah, which it goes in further where it says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall frontlets up between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get into the particulars of Judaism there, but what I love at the last part is it when somebody comes to your house, they should know you follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. It should be evident when they come to your door that you follow Jesus. As for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
Exactly. Look, this is a pretty good crowd here. Where'd you find them?
What I find wonderful is that when we do that, he makes us to be more than we are.
Yeah, exactly. And so he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Constrain all that and point it to the God. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment, by the way. It's the one that seems so important to you, is what he's saying to the Jews. And then he says this. And by the way, they said, what is the greatest command? And Jesus says, well, there's two, actually. Mm-hmm. He says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So first question I have is this. What is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor?
Mm-hmm. Who is my neighbor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyone we come in contact with.
Anyone you come in contact with. Okay. Anyone? Mm-hmm. So when you say anyone, you mean anyone.
Even those barbarians that we know somebody talks about.
Yeah. How about your enemies?
That's anyone.
They should be too.
Anyone.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? Because we kind of joke sometimes about not liking our neighbors.
Yeah.
We joke about, you know, my neighbor, he doesn't mow the lawn, it's long, the guy drives me crazy. Somebody told me not too long ago, they said, you don't have to like your neighbors, but you better love them.
Yes.
Because Jesus commands you to love your neighbors. And so what Jesus is saying to them is it's not necessarily that Jesus is giving them a second command here. Jesus is saying if you do the first one properly, your life should overflow out into the lives of other people. Mm-hmm. That if you love God with all your heart, soul, and might, if you think that God is the most important thing, then you are going to be able to, you're going to begin to see the world differently. You're going to begin to see the people around you differently. You're going to begin to value them because they have been created by God and they're God's people. Mm-hmm. Even the people who don't know God yet are God's people who have yet to be redeemed to God. Mm-hmm. And so we see people differently. You know, it's interesting. Years ago, we had different neighbors across the street. This was like two neighbors ago. And one time he was out in his driveway and he was so mad. They were having an argument. And I heard him yell to his wife. He says, you can just go to hell. And I just stood there for a minute and I thought, He doesn't even know what that means. Mm-hmm. And later on, I was actually able to have the opportunity to share with him. This stuck out in my mind. I heard you had this argument, and I heard this happen, and do you know what that means? Do you know what hell is? Do you know where you just, this person who you said that you love, do you know what you just condemned them to? And it was interesting because he said, I didn't, and I really didn't mean it. I was just mad. Mm-hmm. And so when we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might, that love is to overflow out into others. And we're to love them as we love ourselves, which means that whatever I think is good and right for me, I ought to think is good and right for others. Mm-hmm. That I'm willing to give whatever I would want for myself. Mm-hmm. And so one of my friends, because I love kind of practical things, he said to me this. He said, whenever I go somewhere and I'm excited about something, I always buy two of them and give one to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because he said, I want to make sure that they get what I'm getting. And I always thought that was really wonderful. But this is the command that Jesus calls us to live out. In fact, next week we're going to talk about the Great Commission, and Jesus says in that, teaching them to do all that I have commanded. What we're going to find is, spoiler alert, in the Bible, is that Jesus only gave us one command, and that's this one. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus is talking in Matthew 28 to go out and teach people all that he's commanded, he's teaching them, he's saying, teach them to love God. Teach them to love God and then to love others more.
Listening friends, sometime today or this weekend, look up Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Ponder it, think about it, but better yet, connect with God through prayer. I mentioned this on Tuesday's program. We have the opportunity to build that personal relationship with Almighty God who created you and created the universe. He delights in you. He fashioned you. He knows you. And you get to talk to him. I get to talk to him. What a privilege. What an opportunity for all of us to grow and know God. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.